Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com. Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. Looking for an herb book with healing secrets that will empower you? You will want the Power Herbs book, filled with chapters on how to purge more toxins, best way to boost your immune system, how to make basic herbal tinctures, plus there's a symptom herb reference guide. Written by herbalist Wendy Wilson, the Power Herbs book offers hundreds of pages of essential information you won't want to be without, all for just $14.99. Available only in e-book formats for iPad, Kindle, and PDF. To order your copy today, visit thepowerherbs.com and download your Power Herbs e-book for just $14.99. Don't wait another minute to be empowered with natural solutions for everyday problems. Order the Power Herbs ebook now at thepowerherbs.com.
One, two, three. Good love. Good love. Good love.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, well, we're here to empower you. That's what we like to do, and I hope we do so. I hope you like the show and let us know how we're doing. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Great network to be on. We are going to be talking about today the digital pills. It's official. They are here. And we're going to talk about what that means. Also, we're going to be talking about how you get some more stamina. Holidays are coming up, and you want to have a little extra stamina to get through all this hubbub and, you know, stress. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll see how much time we have left over after the quack report and the devotional, which today's devotional is, it's from Ephesians 1 and Psalms 105 and Deuteronomy 33. And the Lord's telling us, don't let any set of circumstances intimidate you. The more challenging your day, the more my power I place at your disposal. You seem to think that I empower you equally each day, but that's not so. Your tendency upon weakening is an access of difficulties ahead of you, measured against your average strength, And then that's where I step in, the Lord says. My power is more than usual. Look to me for all that you need and watch to see what I will do. As your day, so shall your strength be. Amen to that. Lord is our strength. Mind the time. If you're not hitting the knee, seeking the Lord's face, that is the way. Without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, I'm sure you've heard, if you even had a glimmer of the social media and world news, there are new guidelines the medical industry is rolling out. They're lowering the acceptable blood pressure numbers so they can grab about 14 to 16% more of adults into the, you know, need the heart medicine drug area. So new guidelines to lower the threshold for your high blood pressure. They said 30 million Americans, but overall that's about 14 to 16% of the adults in the country, they want to put on drugs. So the normal under 120 over 80, that's normal now. It used to be 130, I think, over 90. So top number, you know, if you're over 120, get ready. If you're in the 130 top number, or if you're in the 140, get ready. They're going to put you on the meds. And if you haven't heard about herbs for your heart, you better call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Also, let's see, last and not least in the quack report, brain implants to boost human memory, because the implants are now so sophisticated, they learn to mimic how the human brain learns. Now, this is out of the Society for Neuroscience, Southern California, University of Southern California. What they did is they had some memory prosthetics, which were brain implants. Don't you like that? They call them prosthetics. And they enhanced the human memory, they said, for the first time. And what they did is they implanted electrodes in about 20 volunteers who were going to get the electrodes anyway for epilepsy treatment. And they wanted to see, you know, what goes on within the brain with electrodes firing when they gave them a memory test. And so what happens is the electrodes learned how the brain fired, and so now the team has coated these implants, or prosthetics, with small electrical shocks in the hippocampus part of the brain. This is where you learn. This is where your memory is. So, but the shocks of electricity, these little bursts, are similar to the pattern that it mimics the normal brain function and activity. So they said it helps improve memory. They hope to, use it for people with dementia, boost other types of brain function by about 30%, they said, is what they're shooting for. And so, man, I'm telling you, technology in the medical area is just mushrooming, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit regarding your drug therapy. And that wraps the quack report. Alrighty, so we're going to be talking about the digital pills, just approved officially by the FDA. New developments within your pharmaceutical industry, your government healthcare, and the FDA have now paved the way for medications that send out digital reports to show patient compliance. So currently there's just one medication. It's called Abilify, and it's used for mental health conditions, and it's now available in what they call a digital biomedical medication. So what does that mean? Well, it means that we are a step closer to the public being further controlled by healthcare, which is heavily influenced by drug companies. So we're going to take a look at this new prescription mechanism that monitors your patient compliance. So the pills that report, that's basically what they are. So what the drug companies have developed, and the FDA has just approved, is a medication that sends out these signals to an appropriate party, like your doctor, a family member, insurance companies, whatever, that you, the patient, has properly complied and you've taken your drug therapy. So with the complaints that physicians and drug companies are making that, you know, the patient's at fault for their medication failure because they didn't follow proper use of their medication, so they're trying supposedly to rectify that. So medication that is able to report on a patient is the new growing field in scientific medicine. Now, these are drugs designed with digital devices in them, which monitor patient use of the medicine. So you might find this a kind of bit intrusive, but the business mechanism of healthcare says that patient mistakes in taking their drugs or in non-adherence with their drug protocols is costing the system $100 billion a year. Don't know if I believe that figure, but that's what they're saying. So this claim is that patients get sicker then when they don't take their medicines as directed. Here is a quote from Dr. William Schrank, MD, Chief Medical Officer, Health Plans Division, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center. He says, when patients don't adhere to lifestyle or medications that are prescribed for them, there is substantive consequences that are bad for the patient and very, very costly. End of quote. So you may be asking, well, Ms. Wendy, how does this, digital pill work? Well, I know it sounds kind of bizarre that a medication can inform health authorities what you're doing or not doing with your drug. Well, the medication has this built-in sensor. It's made of food-grade copper, magnesium, and silicon. So the sensors give out an electrical signal when it comes in contact with digestive juices in your stomach. The signals are picked up by a patch the patient wears, and it then transmits the information to a mobile application, you know, like a cell phone or a tablet. So the information is accessible from web-based portals. And patients, you know, they have to sign these forms that will allow their doctor and up to four other individuals to receive the data from their sensors on their drug they're using. So data such as, you know, the time the drug was ingested, the name of the drug, the patient name, et cetera, is transmitted. And I would think that the data signal would be unprotective and easily hacked. Now, some medical professionals have nicknamed the sensor drugs as digital tattletales. Some have gone as far to say that this form of medical treatment is coercive. I tend to agree. We're going to get into that. You know, I like to call it patient bribery, but, you know, they call it incentives. Well, at first, you know, patients may be kind of turned off by the fact, hey, drug is reporting on me. But according to industry insiders, the drug and insurance companies already have this policy ready to roll out, they're ready to launch it, that offers patients incentives if they elect to use these drugs. Okay, so here's a quote from Eric Topol. He's a medical doctor at Squibbs Translational Science Institute, says, insurers may give patients discounts on copayments to entice them to use the drug technology, creating this incentive that kind of raises ethical issues as a form of coercion. There are so many of these new technologies coming out. It's going to be a new frontier for rendering care, end of quote. Ooh, what else is on the horizon? Well, the possibilities are endless, apparently. One healthcare professional was kind of thinking out loud and said the drug technology could be used for other areas, such as when people are committed, you know, involuntarily hospitalized, or maybe for probation, you know, to monitor you. Also, the science and drug industries are taking this technology a step further. They're already working on this. They're already creating an addition to your digital chip that sends out a signal. They're going to add visual recognition technology to confirm that the patient actually took the drug and didn't give it to somebody else. You know, it'll watch the drug go inside your mouth and send a signal. And, you know, that's what they're working on. So it was also suggested that once the first drug or two gets approved by the FDA, it's going to pave the way for the other drugs adapting the technology, and they won't need any additional regulatory clearance, so they can just add additional drugs. So currently, drug makers are testing these digital drugs in the areas of medication for heart, the heart medicines, diabetic medicines, HIV medicines, stroke medicines, and other drugs for the elderly that have a lot of chronic diseases like Alzheimer's. All right, so here is a quote from Eric Bufkin, Senior VP at eTech Prescriptions. Oh, he says, frankly, there is a creepiness factor of this whole idea of medicine tracking. It's like Big Brother watching you take your medicine. I get questions all the time asking, is the government going to be using this and can they track me? End of quote. Well, I think it's a valid question, you know. Here's a quote from Amy Sarpatwari. She's a medical doctor at Harvard Medical School. Says, digital pills have the potential to improve public health, but there are worries that if used improperly could foster more mistrust instead of trust. Well, here is a posting. Now, the FDA just posted this yesterday on their website, Food and Drug Administration. They say this about the digital medicines. They say the U.S. Food and Drug Administration today has approved the first drug in the United States with digital ingestion tracking system. Abilify tablets contain an ingestible sensor embedded in the pill that records that the medication was taken. The product is approved for the treatment of schizophrenia, acute manic and mixed episodes associated with bipolar disorder, and for the use of added treatments for depression in adults. So I don't know if you could probably Google, digital pills, and you can see what they look like. They look like a little round disc with a square chip on it, and it's embedded inside the medicine. And these ingestible sensors or chips that they add to the pills, they're all made by a company called Protus Digital Health. They're in Redwood City, California. Actually, these digital pills, these medications, are not approved yet for use in Europe, but they're working on it. And you have to ask yourself, you know, this interesting name for a company, Proteus Digital Health. Well, the word Proteus is from Greek mythology. It was a sea god that had the ability to prophesy. Now you get the irony there, don't you? Also, the word Proteus is also associated with a gram-positive bacterium found in the human digestive tract, and it's also found in soil. I find that very interesting. All right, let's look at some implications from the digital pills. You know, in 2015, going back a couple years, Natalie Salmanowicz, she was with the Law and Bioscience blog, she reported there are unlimited implications for digital medicines. She mentioned some of the promoted benefits that the digital drugs are using that they say we're going to bring healthcare benefits like, you know, faster recovery times, decreased expense in wasted meds, higher quality of clinical trials, as well as parent ability of monitoring children's medications through college. You know, you send your kid off to college and you're taking your meds, you know. Parents can tell with the new, you know, a technology meds, you know, the techno pills. Now, she also mentions an area most may not have even thought of using these medical technology techno pills. You know, it's just digital pills all around for everybody. She says it could be used for court mandated treatment programs. Also, transparent compliance between patients and their insurance benefits used for that. She has also financial incentives to help patients prefer the digital pills in order to discontinue the conventional ones. Compliance may be necessary for you to get refills on your prescription. And also, she says, this is going to change the duties and privileges of those inside the healthcare industry. I'll bet. Absolutely. Well, you know, I was kind of curious. I'm sure Frank was too. Frank, you want to guess how much a digital pill costs? You know, a lot of research and trouble went into making these teeny weeny little, you know, transistors and sensors. Well, you say 250. Is that a pill or is that a month supply, would you say? That's a pill. Well, you know, the conventional Abilify tablet for bipolar or schizophrenia, a 30-day supply of the, you know, regular conventional kind costs about $25 to $40 with insurance. Now, that's a 30-day supply. Now, if you don't have insurance, then the drug costs hundreds of dollars a month. So at this writing, guess what? There's no price tag yet for the new digital pills that were just approved. You can't find pricing anywhere. So if the insurance companies plan to offer incentives to make, you know, this price competitive to the conventional pills in the beginning, I bet you that's what they're going to do. So, you know, it'll be either or. All right. So, you know, more incentives, though, I think are going to bring fewer choices down the road. So the medical industry is certainly kind of pivoting itself to be in a very powerful position over patients. Now, I first see these incentives that will entice patients to use this new drug technology, and later fewer choices with regards to medications without the tracking. So the drugs will become even more sophisticated and will typically report heart rate, your blood pressure, and based on vital information can even determine your mindset or your mood. So all this will be reported to the appropriate authorities, making decisions over your health care and making changes based on that information. So without an office visit or a face-to-face contact with your doctor, you could get a call or a text message on your device. Hey, go over to the drugstore and pick up your additional prescriptions, obviously all with tracking involved, compliance, technology, type of drugs, because, you know, obviously, you know, your blood pressure's up, so now we need to add this drug. So with healthcare moving to the government-owned and controlled care, noncompliance may jeopardize coverage or come with financial penalties. Get ready for that. Get ready for that. You know, because when they want to do it, it's for your best interest. It's what's good for you. We know what's best for you. And when you don't want to jump to that, if you don't want to march to that drummer, then it's time to, you know, make compliance hurt if you're not going to be compliant. See? Well, I say options equals freedom. You know, I like options. I like to, you know, it makes me feel powerful when I can make some choices. Now, I see your prescription medicines in a way, well, they're going to work to trap or enslave patients into care that offers really no cure. It's all symptom management. So thank goodness for God's medicinal herbs, which I feel puts the biomedical field to shame. And the pharmaceutical drugs are now a product of the biomedical area of science. They make drugs from synthetic chemical compounds, which negatively influence many organic functions within the human body. So God has a certain order to things, and science likes to rewrite his creation. Now, I have found that herbs can cleanse our system of impurities, which can invite disease, and herbs with powerful nutrition can help the body heal itself. I call this the cleanse and nourish approach. Pretty easy, you know, it is. It's just so simple. A baby could understand this premise. So God figured out all the chemistry, and it's in its perfect balance. So people are pretty amazed when they rebuild bone and cartilage and other connective tissues within a few months. They go, whoa. And they are equally amazed when they have the power to strengthen a weak cardio system. And there's a whole lot more people can do when they take the power back. Yeah, you can do this. Now, if you want to learn more, folks at Apothecary Herbs more than happy to help you out. They like educating their consumer. So call Apothecary Herbs today if you want to order your herbal cleanses, your immune boosters, your cardiovascular herbs for pets. I mean, you name it. Give a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. They have an international number. If you're outside the U.S., that's 704-885-0277. That's 704-885-0277. Or you can visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. So get started today on a stronger, healthier future, and all without no tracking. Isn't that great? They have a free product catalog for you. They can mail it to you through the snail mail, or you can download a copy off their website at thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. You'll be amazed what you can do. I mean, when I found out what herbs could do, it was like the best-kept secret. And that's when I had to go learn more. I did. I was so impressed. And I used to work in the medical field, and I didn't know any drug that could do that. And strengthen and fix it, you know? Not manage it, fix it. So thepowerherbs.com. If you want to take the power back, that's where you go, because certified organic, Tilth Standard organic herbs, cold-pressed, professional strength, you know, it's a game changer. It is. Thepowerherbs.com. Check it out. All right. I promise stamina tips. How do we get more energy, Miss Wendy? Well, there's a lot we can do there. And, you know, you want to watch the sugar. The big thing during the holiday season is watch the sugar, because this really suppresses immune system function and makes you more vulnerable to picking up those flu bugs and viruses and that kind of thing. So if you can just watch the sweet tooth and use your immune-boosting herbs through the holiday season, you can sidestep a lot of problems. You can. Who wants to be sick during all the stress of the holidays? That's even. Ugh. All right. I do get calls on how do I get more energy, more stamina. And I have to ask myself, you know, has stamina become so lost to the human race that it's reminiscent of, you know, the old movies when you saw people run around and have all this energy? People of all ages are desiring to have more stamina. I don't know. You go to the movies now and you watch the superhumans, you know, the Power Rangers and whatever, and they fly around on cables and whatever. But, you know, the definition of stamina is not just energy, but it is energy with staying power, fortitude, toughness, grit. And it was the kind of endurance that was needed to build some of the ancient kingdoms of the world. So the origin of the word stamina began in the 18th century. It stems from the Latin word statin, meaning the thread of life. This alludes to the DNA cloth or stock, you know, what you're made from sort of thing. So it was a word closely used with pedigree. Especially where it came to animals, genealogy, your family tree. So this is where this came from. So we're going to check out how we can get some more stamina and some natural energy the non-toxic way. Because I know a lot of you are stuck on those energy drinks, and they're not good for you. They're not good for you. Here is a quote from the Journal of American Medical Association. It says, the strength or vigor of bodily constitution, or the capacity for withstanding fatigue or resisting disease, is stamina, your constitution. Now, we're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. We'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Millions of Americans are using prescribed medicines daily and putting up with the risk of side effects. If you feel trapped on lifelong drugs and want off of them, there is a way. Pharmaceutical products create a weakness and dependency. Eventually, weakness leads to failure. The solution is sources that are strengtheners, which lead to restoration. Contact Apothecary Herbs for their free product catalog and discover what professional strength herbal formulas can do for your heart, kidneys, pancreas, digestion, prostate, brain, and more. Call now 866-229-3663 or visit online thepowerherbs.com. Call now to order and empower yourself. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about how to get more energy and stamina. And we went over the Journal of the American Medical Association's definition right before the break. So where did everybody's stamina go? There are lots of health experts that agree that, you know, modern man has less stamina than our ancestors. Some blame it on, you know, a lot of modern conveniences, a lot of entertainment, sedentary occupations. Others are saying that it's all that processed food that doesn't have the minerals, all the depletion of the soil, no minerals that grow our food, all has, you know, contributed to our decline in energy. So there is a certain rationale to their argument, as most of us are not like our ancient ancestors, having, you know, to hunt for our food. We're less active. We're exposed to more toxins. So in the ancient world, if you didn't move your behind, you would miss out. However, the human body is designed for endurance, but not for speed. So how did our ancient ancestors, you know, build their architectural wonders in a time span that they really didn't have a lot of, you know, big equipment to do a lot of that stuff? I would think it's because they had a lot of stamina and they were smart. They used leveraging. I saw the other day a scientific report on these guys that were able to levitate small devices with vibration, right? Vibration was, you know, so maybe the ancient Egyptians, they learned how to vibrate their stones into place, you know. Who could say? Well, let's get back to the food. Let's look at the food. According to research from the University of Exeter in southwest England, human stamina may be hidden in specific foods. For instance, they studied the effects of, like, beetroot juice, and it happened to improve stamina in humans by a minimum of 16 to 20%. So how did it do that? The researchers discovered that the beetroot improves the oxygen uptake, reduces that tired feeling when we exert energy. So the beetroot juice improved breathing, cardiovascular function, and metabolic function. Their research also included two test groups. One was given about 17 ounces of beetroot juice every day. The other group got a placebo. And the group that had the beetroot juice also had lower resting blood pressure. So all these reports now that they just changed the blood pressure threshold and you got to be on drugs. Hello, beetroot. Now, the study suggests that it may be the nitrate in the beets that, you know, boosts our stamina while lowering our blood pressure. And, you know, this is how the mechanism works. They also suspect that, you know, nitrate in beets could be converted to nitric oxide and reduce the oxygen required for the body. Now, the research was published in the 2009 Journal of Applied Physiology, but another study at the University of Exeter School of Sport and Health Science found that nitrate-rich foods increase human exercise endurance. They found that beets accomplish this oxygen uptake so well, it reduces your blood pressure need, and that it really can't be duplicated by any other means, especially in athletic training. They've tried. So the results were published in the 2008 Journal of the American Heart Association. And here is a quote by Professor Andrew Jones at Exeter University School of Sport and Health. And he says the research found that when beetroot supplement was used, there was this striking increase in performance by altering the use of oxygen during exercise. For runners, this is a 1 to 2% improvement in race times, which could mean the difference between winning and losing, end of quote. So in summary, the research teams at Exeter University found that beetroot improves stamina, and it could also help people live more active lives. So improving a severe intensity exercise endurance by 20% just by adding some beetroot to your diet. They said it also reduces systolic blood pressure, that top blood pressure reading, and it reduces the oxygen requirement when you do exercise by the body. So the muscles aren't needing as much oxygen when you exert. So let's look at some nitrate-rich foods then. Other foods that contain high nitrate content are going to be celery, cress herb, French parsley, lettuce, spinach, arugula, cabbage, radishes, collard greens, broccoli. So definitely get organic because it's going to have more nitrate minerals and so forth in there. So what else does beetroot do? Well, according to an article in Nutritional Science, nitrate-rich foods like beetroot help the friendly bacteria of your body. It also helps relax blood vessels, and then it drops your blood pressure. Now, the Journal of Functional Biochemistry and Health and Disease also reported that a lot of nitrate is, and when it's in its highest concentrate in your vegetable foods, it's going to go through the bloodstream very quickly, they said. These nitrate-rich foods also offer some protection from blood platelets that tend to stick together, and it prevents unwanted clots. So, you know, your vegetables help protect your fibrinogen protein so you don't get unwanted clotting going on, increasing your risk of clots and stroke or, you know, pulmonary edemas, things like that. So if you want to also check out hawthorn berry, it does the same thing. It protects that fibrinogen protein and regulates that clot mechanism. Now, in some people, if you get too much nitrate, it can cause migraine headaches, so be aware of that. Also, artificial nitrate food preservatives are a problem, causing headache sufferers to have, you know, they put it in lunch meats, hot dogs, sausages, that kind of stuff. So natural nitrate, though, You're also going to find that in chocolate. So this is why a lot of people have nitrate sensitivities will get a headache if they eat some chocolate. Migraine sufferers, for one. Well, let's look at the ancient world. If we go back for a moment and we look at the manpower it took, let's say, to build the Egyptian empire, we have to ask, what foods did they eat? Well, according to French research teams, they explored that question. And then they ran a test on over 45 Egyptian mummies that they found between 3500 BC and 600 AD. So these isotopes in the remains of these mummies, the dead Egyptians, offered a chemical signature that they find in food. So what the research suggests is that the ancient Egyptians were vegetable lovers. They ate very little fish or meat. They just loved vegetables. So that's what, you know, the biochemical markers are saying. It kind of gives you a picture of the Egyptians, you know, what they ate. Now, you do see a lot of reliefs or etchings of them that they would be fishing, they'd be catching fish. But a lot of what the research is saying is, well, they use that as offerings to their gods, not so much food. They eat more vegetables. So the research was published in the Journal of Archaeological Science, and they have pieced together this archaeological anthropological evidence, if you will, to suggest that while in captivity in Egypt, the Israelites ate bread, grains, vegetables, fruits, but very little meat and some fish. Both the Egyptians and the Israelites drank wine and beer. They've actually excavated some of those pyramids, and they found a bakery and a brewery. So beer and bread, you know, for the people that were slaving over these Egyptian pyramids. So large evidence of living quarters as well there next to the bakery and brewery. And so they capitalized on that for their workforce. A lot of nitrate in your bread and beer, see? That's how that works. A lot of energy and stamina. Also, if we go to ancient Rome, what we find over there is beets in ancient Rome were cultivated. Also, they've been cultivated in North Africa, Asia, and lots of Europe, and mostly grown for their green tops. They really weren't eating the root part at all. So the red root part of the beets didn't get used until the Romans started using it for sugar content and for dye making to color fabric. So today we have to be careful if we get organic beet root. You don't want to get the genetically modified kind. They use that a lot in the sugar industry, so be aware of that. So if you're diabetic, be aware of the sugar content in your beets. What are some other benefits? Well, beetroot also offers an anti-inflammatory benefit. So they protect cells that are used to fight inflammation, and they protect your organs and your blood vessels. So the beets are rich in these minerals and a lot of fiber, and both are very beneficial for muscles and nerves. And the minerals in beets, the manganese, are necessary for healthy bones, a healthy liver, kidneys, pancreas, and so on. Pregnant mothers may want to eat some beets for the folate, the natural B vitamin, to reduce birth defects. And beets will taste better than the artificial petrochemical vitamins. So the beets are also going to help the body detoxify. Another benefit, and when the body breaks down these toxins, the nutrients in beets help the second part of the process where the toxins bind to these molecules and the body is able to discard the debris quickly. So detox with your beets. We actually, at Apothecary Herbs, we put some beets in our Body Foundation food mix, which is a powdered blend. And you just add it to any kind of juice, smoothie, water, whatever you want. And it kind of covers your vitamins, your minerals, amino acids, proteins through for the day. It'll give you lots of energy, stamina. If you work out a lot, you'll feel amazing. And if you're used to those petrochemical vitamins, this will be a game changer for you. You'll see a big difference. So now, the other week I found out spinach helps the body get rid of unwanted fat. And so you'll also find the spinach with the beets in the body food mix. So if you want to get lean and mean, you might want to utilize that product. And you'll find it at Apothecary Herbs. And like I said, you just throw it into your favorite beverage, vegetable juice. I like it in lemonade, or I like it in apple cider. That's okay. I like juice blends like orange and pineapple, but that's only for the summer. I kind of go with the juices that are in season. So you can throw it in your favorite beverage, and it's water soluble. So you just stir it up, or you put it in a smoothie, and it doesn't need a lot of digesting like a pill would, and so it's in the system working right away, and you'll feel great. So check it out. And it's one of the most popular items there in the store at thepowerherbs.com, or call and get a free catalog at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Yep, you take the power back, you'll be amazed what you can accomplish, and all without co-pays and insurance cards. It's great. All right, so we got a few minutes here. I'm not going to have time to talk about our virus topic. We'll have to save that for next time. We got lots to do before the turkey holiday coming up. And, just watch the sugar, and you'll do your immune system a big favor. We're going to talk about some averages here. You hear that, a lot, that expression, the law of averages, According to scientists, it's often used as inferior logic. So what the law of averages refers to, apparently incorrectly, is what is known as the law of large numbers. So often the law of averages is used when there's too few outcomes to satisfy the law of large numbers. So tossing a coin to determine heads or tails is often an example of the law of averages, even though each toss is an independent event. Now, baseball statistics, your batting averages is another example. The law of averages is explained by scientists as not a law at all, but is more accurately described as gambler's fallacy. So what we really want to say is the law of probability and what influences the outcomes, short-term, long-term. How does this factor into what we eat and how it affects our health? Well, we're going to check it out. Now, the FDA has acceptable levels of what is known as defect levels in foods. And there is an acceptable level of chemical, also bacterial and animal or bug contamination in consumer products. According to the FDA, most manufacturers detect levels. They don't represent the average product produced. So averages are said to be much lower. So when the defect level gets too high, the FDA usually calls the product adulterated, and it can be recalled. So samples are randomly tested to calculate contamination impact, law of probability. So the FDA criteria that they use is going to report on such unapproved ingredients like, human hair or animal hair, how long is the hair, the size of insect fragments, and so on. They have also looked for bacteria, mold, or other types of filth. So if animal parts are discovered, the species is then identified. And the other things taken into consideration are agricultural and harvesting processes and our product processing. So your FDA's position on chemicals, which tend to control pests, rodents around a manufacturing facility, and other natural contaminants in foods, they say usually has very little impact. Therefore, the food is not going to be recalled or considered adulterated. Goodness. Well, and the reason is they reason that the purpose of these chemicals is to control pests and protect the overall product, so they let it slide. So the average adult eats about 2,000 pounds of food in a year, average adult. So what does the law of probability say that could be in that food? Uh-oh. Hope you're not eating right now. I apologize if you are. Well, let's look at the chocolate, because we're coming up to the holidays, chocolate, and then we'll soon be here, with Valentine's Day, lots of chocolate. Now, a chocolate bar contains, on average, law of probabilities, law of averages, about 8 insect legs, one candy bar. So the law of probability says 8 insect legs per chocolate bar. The average person consumes about 10,000 chocolate bars in a lifetime. So that's about 80,000 insect legs, or 1.5 pounds of insect legs. Don't you love it when I put it together like that? Well, then you got to look at allergies. According to foodallergy.org, there are 15 million Americans with a lot of food allergies. Worldwide, the American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology says about 10% of our population has food allergies. That's almost 40% of kids are allergic to foods and have severe reactions. Now, the big food culprits in order of prevalence are, you know, peanuts, milk, shellfish. And the frightening thing is that over the last 50 years, food allergies have been on the rise, especially with the industrialized nations. Now, with regard to school-age children, food sensitivity rates with just one or two allergens is now about 50%. About 13% of the population suffers from sinusitis, most often associated with a milk allergy, and 13% to 17%, depending on the race, have skin problems, skin allergies. Now, one interesting statistic is on the global scale. 50% who are allergic to insect bites experience a fatal reaction with no previous medical history of a reaction. Now, according to allergist Dr. Morton Tech, he says a majority of foods do contain bug contaminants, which can fall into the acceptable level according to the FDA. Some people think that they are allergic to a particular food, let's say chocolate, but it may be the extra bug protein that they're allergic to, according to him. He says this, anything more than 60 insect pieces per 100 grams, that's 3.5 ounces of, let's say, your chocolate bar, is typically rejected by the FDA. So if you eat food that produces the symptoms of hives, itching, eczema, migraines, digestive cramping, it could be the trace amounts of insect parts, he says, that are ground up into the food product, creating your allergic reaction. And this can also apply to pet foods and your pets having allergies. Think about that. Well, they put sorghum in the pet food typically so it doesn't gum up the machinery, and that's a waste grain product. And typically pets seem to be allergic to grains. So, you know, I'm not real crazy about buggy foods. But chocolate isn't the only foods that have bug parts that can give you an allergic reaction. Most often, allergists will have a list of complaints from patients on the foods most often listed. Peanut butter, macaroni, fruits, dried fruits, cheese, popcorn, and wheat products. Now, cockroach allergies are very common, and they now have tests to determine if that's what you're allergic to. Common symptoms would be skin rashes, respiratory problems, and things like asthma. So it may be the bug parts. Yep. There are over 5,000 types of cockroaches worldwide. Dear me. Apparently, cockroaches are attracted to cocoa beans, and their droppings are all over the cocoa beans. And skin testing is nothing new. A little jab of an allergen under the skin, and you can see it reacts. So in 1943, cockroaches were added to the skin allergy test. Makes you wonder what allergists put in the cockroach allergy shots. You know, got to think about that. The law of probability says the food or cosmetics, which is 100% insect, allergen, bacteria, mold, or uncontaminated with any other filth, does not exist. Law of probability says that. Can't make it 100% hypoallergenic. You can't. You just can't. So there are places on this earth where people think bugs are a food source, not a contaminant. For instance, Hanoi, Vietnam, they deep fry scorpions. In Cambodia, fried spiders are a delicacy, a crispy delight. If you go to China, bee larvae cooked in soy sauce or fried grasshoppers. Down under in Australia, raw or roasted grubs, which are said to taste like almonds and cream. I'll take their word for it. And in Japan, they put digger wasps into dough, and they make their own version of chocolate chip cookies. Ugh. Ugh. Again, if you're eating, I am sorry. But this gives you a heads up. You know, it could be the food, or it could be something that's contaminated in the food that's giving you the problem. You'll get about five in those wasp digger wasp cookies. You'll get five insects per cookie if you're going to Japan. They are boiled first, and the stingers are removed. Well, thank goodness. And in South Korea, you can order some silkworm larvae soup or a stew. If you go to Thailand, the Department of Food Technology can provide you with local-style cooking. Lots of bugs, of course, are on the menu. Little dung beetles, chili con carne is going to be with roasted termites and a little salt. I know, it's just crazy how these cultures, you know, eat this stuff. These types of foods have 60% protein and 6% fat compared to 18% protein and 18% fat when you eat a hamburger. I know you're saying, I don't care. Give me the hamburger. Now, in Asia, a protein snack is insect sushi. So, you know, get that visa ready. Get that travel passport ready to go. So the law of probability says that I'll eat bugs for food on purpose when there's nothing else to eat. That's just my take. I don't know. I know there's probably some people out there like it, but I have a real problem. When it crawls across my floor, I just can't, you know, not that we have any. God, I don't like that. So how can you reduce the probability that you're going to get bugs in your food? Well, you want to avoid a lot of those prepackaged foods and cook more from scratch. Eat certified organic fruits and vegetables. You eliminate those pesticide chemicals. Wash your produce well. Remove any insect residues before you eat it. And for the cleanest supplements, you want to avoid those Chinese products unless they come from a very highly trusted source, because in China they include a lot of insect and animal parts in their formulas. So you may be allergic to them as well. So go to thepowerherbs.com if you want some certified organic, tilt standard, organic, no bug parts included, organic supplements that are professional strength and whole food and get empowered. So if you need a little help there, check it out at thepowerherbs.com and give them a call 866-229-3663 for a free product catalog. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Yeah, Frank makes a point. They do radiate imported herbs as soon as they get on the dock here in the United States. Bam! You know, they try to kill all the disease and everything. So if it's imported, it's been irradiated. I know, it's terrible. Got to use indigenous herbs here in the United States if you want something clean. That's what we do at Apothecary Herbs. Oh, we're working on a new catalog, so we hope to have one soon, like around Christmas time. Oh, it's so exciting. But we do have what we have in stock. Do get one before they're all gone. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. The three healthcare options just became endless. I know, I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. And I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. And I don't hear music, Frank. There it is. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, be well.